Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. God is good. He's amazing. He's awesome. Hallelujah. We give Him all the glory and all the praise that He alone deserves. I trust God that you are doing well, that you are blessed, you and your loved ones. You are enjoying the goodness of the Lord in this season. Amen, amen. Life is such a gift. It is such a blessed opportunity that the Lord has given to us again to come together tonight, together around His Word. So wherever you are joining us from around the world, whether you are joining us in real time or you are listening to this afterwards, thank you. Thank you for being a part of this Bible study. And whatever platform you are joining us on, whether it's video platforms, audio platforms, our podcasts, thank you for joining us. I'm very excited about the word that we would study together tonight. I would like to dive in immediately and just try to cover as much ground as possible tonight before our time is up, because of our upcoming convention, our Open Heavens convention, at the end of this month. We would most likely not have a regular Bible study next week, and probably for a week or two after Open Heavens. So I'm really looking to be led by the Holy Spirit, but also to get as much as possible in tonight so that we can advance our study quite a bit. And by the time we come back, sometime in July, by God's grace, we can just pick right up from wherever we stop tonight. So let's bow our heads together. Let's share a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight, and we honor you, and we bless you, and we give you the glory and the praise for this great opportunity that you have given to us. I thank you, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, them and their loved ones. I thank you for keeping all of us. Thank you, God, for watching over us. Thank you, Father God, for the precious gift of life that we have received, strength in our bodies, health, sound health. What a blessing. And the joy of experiencing the grace of God in every area of our lives. Lord, we're so thankful. We do not take your goodness for granted. We all say to you, thank you. Thank you tonight. And Lord, I pray over this word that we'll study. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Have your way here. Lead us, guide us. All of you and none of me. Lord, think through my mind and teach and minister through my vocal cords. Help me, oh God, to inscribe truth, the truth of your word, on the hearts of your precious people. I ask you, Lord, for illumination, for understanding, for revelation, knowledge, in the name of Jesus. Father, help us advance in our teaching, in our learning, and our study tonight. I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much again for joining us tonight. I'm going to go right there to Isaiah 55. I have a very little time for revision tonight. If you are new to this series of studies, I encourage you to get a hold of our podcast and go all the way back. We have done more than 3 months in these studies already that we have titled Renovate Your Mind, Elevate Your Life. Glory to God. And we just sense the Lord doing some amazing work in all of our lives. Amen. In Isaiah 55 from verse 8, the Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God wants our thoughts to become like his thoughts. He wants our thinking. He wants our minds to become renovated to the point where our thinking always aligns with his thinking. Our ways always align with his ways. Amen. Because when we do, then we will prosper. The expectations of our hearts will be fulfilled. We will not be living in deception. You know, a lot of people think something is going to happen. They think something good is ahead of them, but there's really nothing good coming. Amen. We talked about this a little bit last week, because they're deceived, right? They're not living their lives based on the truth of the Word of God, but they expect the promises of the Word of God to be fulfilled in their lives, and it's just not going to happen. That's not the way. That's not the way the Lord has preordained these things. Here in Romans chapter 12 from verse 1, the apostle says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove or experience what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That we be not conformed to this world, we're not aligned to this world, but that we are transformed or renovated by the renewal of our minds. So when we are renovated in our minds, when we are transformed by the renewal of our minds, then we will experience the goodwill, the acceptable will, the perfect will of God in our lives. You see, when our minds become renovated and our lives are elevated, we're transformed, we're renewed, our thinking is one of the first products that begins to change. The way we think, hallelujah, we've talked about this so much. We you know, the world thinks a certain way. Even in the body of Christ, a lot of people think certain ways that are not necessarily in line with the Word of God. Sometimes tradition teaches us some things. Sometimes our parents who loved us, people who raised us, where we went to school, whatever cultures we belong to, they teach us certain things, and they almost present those things to us like they are gospel truth. But a lot of those things don't line up with the Word of God. And it's something we have imbibed, and something we have believed does not line up with the Word of God. We have to change it. Because if we don't change it and change our thinking regarding those things, then we will not reap the harvest. We will not reap the blessings that God has prepared for us in the covenant. I don't know about you, but I want everything that the Lord has ordained for me. I personally, I want everything that God has made available to me. You know, one of my all-time favorite scriptures is Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1. You've probably heard me, if you've listened to me minister for a while, you've heard me quote this scripture quite a bit. It's in a lot of books that we have written. And I absolutely just believe that this is the inheritance of every believer. This is the covenant. This is a part of the covenant that God has made with us. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 24 verse 1, talking about Abraham. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Glory to God. Glory to God. Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Not in a few things, not in many things, not in most things, but in all things. And all things means all things. All things begins from first his relationship with God, his spiritual experience, his life, his physical life, his well-being, his health, his mental, emotional life, Amen. His relationships, his family, his finances, his businesses, his ministry, his career. Glory to God. His marriage, his children. Hallelujah. And children's children. Glory to God. His ministry, his everything, everything. He enjoyed a total life prosperity. Look at how the Amplified puts it. Now Abraham was old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. In all things. Well, in order for us to be blessed in all things, we must think like God. Our thoughts must become aligned with the thoughts of God. Amen. Amen. You see there in we're going to go all the way, just jump right ahead. And some of the scriptures I couldn't get to last week, some of the very cogent teachings on truth. We're going to get into some of it tonight. Some. There are two major ways in which this renovation of our minds happen. Number one is by the washing of regeneration by the word of God. We have already studied this at length. And the second one is through the transformation or the renovation of the Holy Spirit. Where when we come with hearts of humility, and when we embrace the word of God with meekness, the word that the Bible says is able to save our souls, in James chapter 1, then the Holy Spirit, he begins to use the word of God to bring about a work of transformation and renovation in our minds and in our lives. Glory to God. And it's not just a surface, peripheral, superficial work. It's a work as a structural work. Like the word of God says in Ephesians chapter 4, which we have read quite a number of times already, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man who is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So there's a lot of deception in that old man. There's a lot of disappointment in that old man, in that old man's experience. Why? Because that life was not built on truth. Whatever is not built on truth will not survive, will not last. Amen. The word of God is truth. That's why the Bible says the word of God would abide forever. And the Bible says heaven and earth may pass away, but not a jot of God's word will go unfulfilled. But it also, in the same way, it says heaven and earth will pass away, but they that do the will of God, or they that are conformed to the will and the purpose and the thoughts of God, they will abide forever. The way to enjoy the full life, the fullness of the blessings and the covenant that God has made with us, his people, is to think like God, to begin to think like God, to have our minds renovated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. To begin to go through every area of our lives and to ditch all of that ungodly thinking. To ditch, to put it aside, to judge and say, no, that's not truth. That's not the truth of the word of God. That's not the truth of the word of God. I heard that all my life. Somebody said, this is the way this should happen, but it's not true. That's not the truth from the word of God. Therefore, I refuse to continue to think like that. I refuse to continue to believe that. Amen. Glory to God. Look at this scripture. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, who is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, so that you put on the new man who after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We put on the new man. That we put on the new man who after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Notice there's truth. And the very first thing he says to do, right after telling us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, in verse 25, he says, therefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Right? You must be, if you want to successfully enjoy the blessings and the benefits of renovating your mind, You must be a lover of truth. Well, this is where we were last week, and we read about Caleb. I'm not even going to that Old Testament scripture tonight, just because I don't want to go too far out there and then struggle to get into some of the materials that I believe that the Lord will have us cover tonight. But you remember in that Old Testament story, Numbers chapter 13, 14, and Moses sent the spies to go out and see the promised land, and majority of them, he sent out 12 leaders, 12 spies, 10 of them came back with an evil report. Only Caleb and Joshua believed the truth. They all saw the same thing, they all experienced the same thing, but only two. And then, of course, the entire nation turned against those two. The entire nation bought into the lie. And of course, the entire nation perished in the wilderness. Because when we buy into a lie and we don't build our lives on truth, we don't obtain God's benefits and God's results and God's privileges, and the fruits of the covenant are not complete in our lives. So we have outlined six steps, but we started with the very first one, which is brainwash your mind with the truth of the Word of God continually. Where I wanted to go last week, and I got knocked out, was the God of truth. And let's get into that tonight while we have some time. He is the God of truth. Hallelujah. We actually read one scripture there in Numbers 23. We might read that again tonight. But let's read a few scriptures, right? We must brainwash our minds with the truth of the Word of God continually. Truth must be our next best friend. Truth must be our next best companion. We must be committed to building our lives on the foundation of truth. We must embrace the truth of the Word of God. We must buy completely into the truth of the Word of God. We must sell out completely to the truth of the Word of God. When the Word of God says something, no matter what somebody else says, no matter how much we respect them, if the Word of God says something and they say something contrary, we immediately say, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. Let God be true, but let every man be a liar. So we believe the truth of the Word of God. We have a full commitment to the truth of the Word of God. Of course, I closed that last week. Somebody wrote this song. There's one thing God can't do. There's a few things He can't do. One of them is He can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. The number of scriptures we're going to go and read as we begin to dive into this truth is so powerful. And I pray that the Holy Spirit gives you illumination. There's some depth of revelation in this concept that will produce the fruits of a renovated mind without us even struggling. Just embracing that this revelation of the truth of the Word of God, we begin to do a work in each and every one of our lives. An amazing, outstanding, awesome work that will last forever. Somebody say amen. Look at it in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. It says right here that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. It was impossible. It is impossible for God to lie. God has no lie in Him. God is completely truth. God does not traffic in lies. He does not handle, He does not peddle lies. He is never associated with a lie. His truth. It is impossible for God to lie, the Bible says. Let's look at Titus chapter 1. I hope you have your Bibles, and I hope you are flipping with me, because we have a number of scriptures, and I hope you can meditate some of these scriptures afterwards, when you can make time. Glory to God. But I do have a number of scriptures I'm going to be reading with you tonight, and all of us are going to be studying together. Titus chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, watch that now, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but has in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Look at that verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. If God says something, it is immediately truth. We could have heard something different generation after generation after generation. The moment God says something, no matter how different it is from what we have had for years, that what God said immediately becomes the truth and must immediately take hold of our thinking. We must buy into it. We must believe it. If God says to you right now, you are a righteous man, or you are a righteous woman, you may have believed for 30 years that you are unrighteous. You may have believed for 30 years you are a sinner. A no good sinner, no good, nothing good coming out of your life. You may have believed for all of your life, you can't attain unto righteousness. You can't be right, you can't be acceptable to God, you can't be pleasing to God, you know, because you are so imperfect, you know, every human being is so flawed, we all make mistakes, you know, our lives are so full of mistakes, yes, you may have believed that for 30 years, but the moment the Lord tells you, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that's it, it settles all controversy. You accept it, you believe it, you embrace it, you run with it. You let it begin to shape your mind. You let it begin to shape your thinking. So you no longer think, no, I'm not righteous. No, I'm weak. I'm a failure. I can't be pleasing to God. No. God said, you are the righteousness of God. That settles it. That's the truth. That settles it. God that cannot lie. Glory to God. I love it. God, it is impossible for God to lie. God that cannot lie. We read that in Numbers 23:19 last week. It is impossible for God to lie. Numbers 23 verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken and shall he not make it good? God is not a man that he should lie. It's not the son of man that he should repent. No, he's not. God cannot lie. Everything that God says is truth. Glory to God. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. Romans chapter 3 verse 4. When God says it, it's true. That's it. It's settled. The Bible says his promises in him, the promises of God in him are yea, and they are yea and amen. God doesn't dilly-dally. He doesn't go back and forth. He doesn't say this is the truth today and then tomorrow it's not. He doesn't say I've changed my mind. No. His promises in him are yea and amen. I didn't prepare that scripture, but since the Holy Spirit brought it up, I'm going to look for it after this. Look at Romans chapter 3 verse 4. Glory to God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. God forbid, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. What is he saying, God forbid, here about? What's he saying? Was he responding to and saying, God forbid? In verse 3, it says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? No. If some people did not believe, forgive me for getting out of the frame of our video. I just needed to adjust my sitting position briefly. If some don't believe, even though that's the truth of the Word of God, does that make that false? If God says something and majority of the world does not believe it, does that make it false? No, God forbid. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. The promises of God in Him, they are yea and amen. I'm going to look for that. I believe it might be in 2 Corinthians, chapter 2 or 1 Corinthians. I have to read that scripture because the Holy Spirit brought it up. Thank you, Lord. Let's read that. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea, yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Every promise of God, God doesn't vacillate. God doesn't, He doesn't go between opinions based on, people talk about taking opinion polls based on what people think. God won't say something today and then come tomorrow and say, I've changed my mind about that. No, that's not the way He does. Every promise of God in Him is truth. It's yea, it's yes, and it's amen. Notice the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. John chapter 16 and verse 13. He is called the Spirit of Truth. Jesus said, when the Spirit of Truth shall come. John chapter 16, verse 13. This revelation needs to be established in our thinking. John 16, 13. Everything about God is truth. John 16:13, when He, the Spirit of Truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He's the Spirit of Truth. This is one of the reasons we must, in the process of renovating our minds to the Word of God, we must embrace truth. Why must we embrace truth? Because, I apologize for getting out of your frame. Why must we embrace truth? Because if we do not embrace truth, when time comes for us to get direction from the Lord, and we want to be guided by the Holy Spirit, He's the Spirit of Truth. If we have not completely sold out to the truth, we will not find His direction. Jesus said, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. There is clarity that we need in our lives from different one season to the other, at different times as we walk through the journey of life. We need clarity, we need understanding, we need direction. Well, if we have not embraced, we have not renovated our minds with the truth of the Word of God, a lot of times we will be deceived. The world is full of deceit. The world is full of dishonesty. God's Word is truth. The Holy Spirit is a Spirit of Truth. So when we have embraced truth in our thinking, in our lives, it becomes easy for us to find the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Thessalonians, some people believe a lie. I believe that's Thessalonians. See if I can find that. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, from verse 9 to 12, some people, God gave them up to believe a lie. A lot of people believe a lie, but they think it is true. When we embrace truth and we live by truth and we build our lives on truth, and it comes time we're looking for direction. Notice I said earlier on, we said earlier on during this service, a lot of people think something good is coming their way, but it's not coming because their lives are not built on truth. That sometimes is not knowingly, sometimes they are just, they've been deceived. They've listened to all sorts of, you remember one time when the Lord came and to Abraham, and where are you? And Abraham said, I was naked, and when I hid myself, God said, who told you you are naked? Who told you? Who have you been listening to? What movies have you been watching? What YouTube channels have you subscribed to? Who have you been following on social media? Who have you been listening to? Who told you you're naked? Because you see, when you what you feed yourself with, what you allow to become front and center, what you allow to become the predominant influence in your life, will eventually determine what you believe. If it is not the truth of the word of God, then you will eventually believe a lie. And when you believe a lie, you will think something good is going to happen, but actually, it's not. I'm way ahead of myself. Let's keep going right here. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. God's word is truth. And when we talked earlier about the two ways in which the renovation of the mind happens, the first one was through the washing of water. Washing of regeneration by the water of the word of God. The word of God is water that cleanses us, that sanctifies us. Well, that's the truth. Remember in John chapter 17 from verse 15, Jesus said, your word is truth. John 17 from verse 15, he says, I pray not, this is during the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. God's word, everything about God is truth. The process of renovation of our mind begins from a full, complete, total commitment to the truth of the Word of God. To settling it in our hearts completely, settling it in our minds completely. God's Word is truth. God Himself is truth. God can never lie. It is impossible for God to lie. And so everything God says to us is truth. God didn't deceive us. See, you know why Eve believed the deception? Why did she buy into the deception of the serpent? The serpent said, did God say you should not eat the fruit? Oh, she said, well, he said, we shouldn't even touch it. He said, because in the day that we eat it, we will die. The serpent said, no, actually, you will not die. Your eyes will be open. You become like God, knowing the difference between good and evil and blah, blah, blah. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament that Eve was actually deceived. If you look at this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe that's verse 3. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Look at what it says. It says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled or deceived Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You see how the truth of the word of God is a defender of the mind, is a protector of the mind. Let's read that from the Amplified. It says, but now I am fearful lest that even as the serpent deceived or beguiled Eve by his cunning, so your minds may be corrupted and seduced from wholehearted and sincere and pure devotion to Christ. everything that comes from God is true. Satan is the one who peddles lies. He's the one who traffics in deception. Well, if we want to build our lives on truth, and we want to enjoy the full benefit of being able to think like God, then we must embrace everything about God, everything that God says, and every instruction from the Word of God as the truth. The Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, must become front and center in our lives. Let's keep on going here. If you build, I'm going to make this statement, but before I make that statement, actually, let's go read 1 John chapter 1 from verse 5. Just read a couple of things there, and I'm going to make this statement to you. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 5. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love the truth. Say it confidently. Say, I love the truth of the Word of God. Say, I embrace the truth. Say, I celebrate the truth. Say, I build my life on the truth. You know why there's this common saying in the world now, in our generation now, in the world, you hear everybody talks about my truth. They say, my truth. What does that mean? My truth. That means that's their own version of the truth. Well, we are not looking for your version of the truth. We're not looking for what you think. We're not looking from the way you see something. No. We are looking for the truth of the Word of God. We're looking for complete light. The Word of God is light. And when we fully embrace the Word of God and the light of the Word of God, then we will not be vulnerable to darkness. We will not be susceptible to darkness, to deception, to lies. We know that when we are led, we are clear in our thinking. We're clear in our minds. We know that in fact, there's a scripture, and we're going to read that in just a couple of minutes here. God loves truth in the inward parts. And then he associates that, the psalmist associated that with the wisdom of God. Because when you are a lover of truth, the wisdom of God comes to you very easily. Very easily. There's a lot of people who believe they are walking in wisdom. You know how you've had people say, you know, let's walk in wisdom. Let's be wise. Let's be wise here. And sometimes they say it with this tone of voice, like, you know, let's walk in wisdom here. But really what they are saying many times is, let's do what the world thinks is right. And what the Word of God is saying, let's just, that may not be the smart thing to do. You know, let's walk in wisdom here. Let's walk in wisdom. Many times they are saying that because it's almost like what they are being challenged to do in the Word of God does not appeal to their thinking, because the world believes differently. So they say, well, let's walk in wisdom. Well, but actually, when you love truth in your inward being, when you are sold out to truth, when you embrace truth in your inner being, wisdom, the wisdom of God comes to you very easily. I want us to read this scripture. Let's read this scripture in 1 John chapter 1. And let's read that. I'm very conscious of my time here. Let's read that from verse 5. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we are lying and we are not doing the truth. If we say we have fellowship with God, but we are walking in darkness, we are lying and we are not doing the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. When we walk in the truth, we walk in the light. And when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with one another, and there is an ongoing cleansing that is happening in our lives by the power of the blood of Jesus. When we walk in truth, when we walk in the light, he says, whosoever says they are walking in truth, they have fellowship with God, but they are walking in darkness, they are lying. So if we are buying into lies, or we are living by lies, things that are not in agreement with the word of God, we can't fellowship with God. What does that mean? You cannot enjoy the things that belong to God. You can't think like God. You can't receive the blessings of the covenant that God wants you to have. Amen. Whosoever is walking in darkness you can't have fellowship with God. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. We do not the truth. I want to make this statement. If you build your life on the truth of the Word of God, you will begin to think like God. If you build your life on the truth of the Word of God, you will find yourself beginning to think like God. Do you know there is a reason every parent teaches their children when they are little to speak the truth? The parents themselves may tell lies from time to time, but they insist that their children must tell the truth. Their children must always tell the truth. You know, if you go in the refrigerator and say, who took that candy? Who took that candy? And there are two of the children in the house. One of them took the candy. And both of them said, not me. The first one said, not me. The other one said, no, not me, Dad. Not me, Mom. I didn't see the candy. I didn't touch the candy. Parents are really upset. They'll bring out all their threats. They'll bring out all their punishment tools. They say, you must tell me the truth. You must not lie to me. Do you know why parents from a very early age teach, I apologize for getting out of the frame of the video, teach their children to speak the truth? Because every parent knows and understands, even though they may not practice this principle, but every parent knows and understands that the beginning of corruption in the thinking and in the behavior of a child is always lying. When a child begins to lie, that is the beginning of corruption, both in their thinking and in their behavior. Once a child begins to lie, and that child habitually commits to lying, it's not going to be a good story. Every parent knows that. Stealing begins with lying. Murder begins with lying. Cheating begins with lying. Everything begins with lying. Being dissatisfied and being greedy, wanting to take something that belongs to somebody else. Every form of evil in this world begins with lying. So there must be one of the first things that must happen in the process of the renovation of the mind of a believer. There must be a complete commitment to truth. See, parents know that. That's why they say to their children, don't ever lie to me. They say, I'll forgive you if you do something really bad and you come and tell me the truth. I will not punish you. I won't make you pay. Just tell me the truth. Just tell me. Why? Because they esteem truth because they know the beginning of corruption in every life is lying. God is a God of truth. Satan, on the other hand, is a liar, is the father of lies. That's why everything satanic, everything evil, everything ungodly always begins with a lie. Always. Look at what Jesus said about Satan in John chapter 8, verse 44. Hallelujah. He can't even help himself. Anything that comes out of the mouth of the devil, just know it's a lie. He may put some elements of truth. He may kind of try to, like we said last week, you know, he may try to put some, a little bit of truth, just a tiny, you know, but it could be 2% truth, but everything about that thing he said is a lie. And sometimes the reason he puts that truth, a little bit of truth, is so that he can deceive us. Because if everything is a blatant lie, I will smell it from afar. With like, no, this can't be true. But in order to achieve deception, the Bible says he can disguise himself as an angel of light. In order to achieve deception, he has to put in some truth. In order for the mind to be deceived, in order for Eve to have been deceived, he had to put an element of truth. But everything he said to her was a lie. Well, truth. A believer, a human being, a child of God, embracing truth completely in their lives, embracing the word of God's truth, building their lives on truth, always completely sold out to the truth, is a defense against the deception of the enemy. It's a defense against the ability of Satan and the world to create deception. Because unfortunately, a lot of people, majority of people are deceived, but they don't even know it. They believe a lie. Have you heard people saying, you know, I was born this way. And, well, they heard that from somebody. They received that from somebody. That's why God asked Adam, who have you been listening to? Who told you that? Who told you? You have to be careful who you listen to. Because many times when we take in so many lies, it shapes our thinking to the point where we're deceived and we don't know it. We really believe something. A lot of things are going on in the world like this right now. People are just completely sold out to something. They really believe it with all their lives. They believe with everything they have within them, but it is a lie. But they don't know. Well, how did they become so vulnerable to believing a lie? It's because they allow their thinking to be shaped by deception. Glory to God. I believe the Lord is giving you revelations, giving you understanding. Hallelujah. We receive clarity in the word of God tonight as we continue this teaching. I know my time is almost up. Glory to God. So much material that we've put out already tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us. And thank you for the nuggets of truth that have come out in this service, in this teaching service tonight. I know there's a lot that has come out to you that you've heard. But my prayer for you is that you will be able to chew on these things and you'll be able to get the nuggets of God's truth from them that will then shape your thinking, begin to shape your thinking. Look at what Jesus said about the devil, about Satan, in John chapter 8 and verse 44. He can't even help himself. John 8, 44. Look at it. He says, let me start from verse 43 because this is really good. This is so good. John 8, 43. Look at what he says here. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Why is it they cannot hear his word? Listen to verse 44. You are of your father. He's talking to all these religious people who couldn't accept the truth of the word of God. You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he is speaking of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it. Satan is the father of lies. He's the originator of lies. He's the father of lies. He is a liar, and then he is the originator of lies. Satan traffics in lies. If Satan says anything, just know it's a lie. If he says anything, it's a lie. You remember when he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is why truth is a defender. Truth is a protector of the mind. It's so essential that we buy into the truth of the Word of God, that we completely sell out to truth. We live our lives, we build on truth. We sell out to truth in every way, in everything we do. We must be lovers of truth. Look at the Amplified. It says, you are of your father, the devil, and it is your will to practice the lust and gratify the desires which are characteristic of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a falsehood, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar himself and the father of lies and of all that is false. There's a scripture I quoted earlier that I think I jumped over in Psalms. I believe it's Psalms. Let's look for it. I believe Psalms 51 something. 51. So God loves truth in the inward parts. Help me find that, Holy Spirit, please. God loves truth in the inward parts. Hallelujah. I'm going to go look in Psalms. I think it's Psalms 51. I've got to read that. Because when we embrace truth, the wisdom of God, clarity in life comes to us very clearly, very easily. Hallelujah. When we embrace truth. On the other hand, when we embrace the lies of the devil in any area of our lives, it's very difficult for us to find God's truth and God's wisdom. Sometimes people are looking for direction, but they can't find that direction because they have bought into a lie. They have sold out without knowing many times. Look at it. I believe it's Psalm 51. Let's look at verse 16. There it is. No, that's not it. Hallelujah. I've got to find that scripture tonight. I believe I'm supposed to close out with that scripture. Love truth. Somebody's probably looking at it and Psalm 51 verse 6. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 51 verse 6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. When we embrace truth as the foundation of our lives, the wisdom of God flows very easily. When we are lovers of truth, we would have to go a bit deeper into this next time when we come back. When we love truth, there's a reason why the very first piece of the armor that we're given and we are told to put on in Ephesians 6 is truth. Let's close out with that scripture right here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The very first piece of the armor of God that we are told to put on is truth. See, Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth. Truth. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much tonight. We bless you. We magnify your holy name. We thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for imparting life to us tonight. We receive everything. We receive everything. We give you the glory and the praise for it. We bless and we magnify your holy name. Thank you, Father God, for the spirit of truth that is settling upon all of us tonight. All of your children, wherever we are. Thank you, God, as you shapen our minds, as shapen our hearts with the truth of your word, and defend us from the deception of the world and the deception of Satan. We give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Beloved, our time is gone. Oh my goodness. So we're gone. So we're gone. We are 56 minutes. We've got to stop. I'm so thankful though for tonight's Bible study. So much ground that the Lord helped us to cover. And yet I'm looking at all the things that I thought I was going to be able to get into, and I couldn't get into them tonight. But praise God. I believe that the Lord gave us everything that he intended. And I trust God that it's the understanding and the revelation and more and more of what the Lord has dished out to us tonight. We will lay hold of in our minds as we continue this journey and this process of renovating our minds with the Word of God and having our lives elevated. Thank you so much again for being a part of this service. I look forward to seeing you again same time, right here on this same platform. God bless you. Good night.